If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, busy day this morning. The Pope has jumped in on the fake news controversy.
The Pope has, huh?
The Pope. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, front page of the Statesman. Nate Shellman, our program director and afternoon guy. Big story in the Statesman this morning.
Yeah.
Not one, but two massive pictures of Shellman and his audience.
Yeah.
And pretty cool stuff.
Did they get the whole audience in one picture?
They did.
Okay.
So, a nice article on Nate Shellman. I read through it. None of it's true.
So fake news.
Fake news, yeah. So it's kind of with
you should send it to the Pope.
Fake news theme this morning.
Yeah.
A nice article by Bill Nanny, Manny, mm-hmm. Nanny Manny, and it's good. Nice.
He interviewed me once just a short 17 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Same guy?
Yeah, same guy, Bill Manny.
Hmm. I never heard him.
You don't forget a last guy or a guy whose last name is Manny.
Hey, Manny. So, anyway, if you want to know about Nate Shellman, all about him, what he looks like, intimate details of his life, personal life, who he owes money to, it's all in there. So, pick up a copy of the Idaho Statesman.
Well, fantastic.
Yeah. Pope Francis.
I'd like to congratulate him on whatever it was about.
Pope Francis.
Yeah.
Has released a message condemning fake news.
Well, see, he's against, like, bearing false witness against your neighbor anyway, since it's one of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
So it would be kind of natural that he would be against fake news.
He says, basically, fake news is a sign of intolerant and hypersensitive attitudes and leads only to the spread of arrogance and hatred. Isn't that its purpose?
Yeah, that's also bad, really.
Yeah. The Vatican says the message is part of the Pope's World Communications Day, but some at St. Peter's Square say the Pope was probably sending a message to Donald Trump and other world leaders who have been using the phrase fake news.
You know, they are both on Twitter. He could do it a lot more direct. Lee.
Now, says just that sentence was probably sending a message to Donald Trump. Nobody knows that.
Now, was he objecting to actual fake news or the use of the term fake news? Maggie Simpson there for a second.
Yeah. The tragic history of human sin,
uh-huh.
The Pope says in his message, is the first fake news. Dates back to the book of Genesis, when the crafty serpent lied to the woman. In present day, according to the Pope's message. Yeah.
Well, he didn't have a newspaper or anything, so basically that was just lying.
The fast digital world helps fuel the spread of fake news.
Okay.
Which he defines as the spreading of disinformation online or in the traditional media. Spreading fake news can serve to advance specific goals, influence political decisions, and serve economic interests.
What we would call fake news now basically used to be called gossip.
By his definition, yes.
Yeah, when you speculated about what somebody was doing, and then you told a friend of yours, and then they told a friend, and so on, like that, you know, that hair commercial. And it eventually got around, and several people believed it was happening, even though somebody had just told somebody that they were speculating, hey, maybe this was the case. And that was gossip. And it was, you know, maybe limited to your neighbors or limited to, movie stars or something of that nature. Well, now it's every single story that's out there and every single thing that happens because we have the internet and we get to know people's thoughts now.
Yeah.
Mind readers must be out of business with the internet. What's the point?
Exactly.
I wish I knew what people were thinking. Oh, here it is.
Spreading fake news can serve to advance specific goals. Yup.
Yeah.
Influence political decisions. Yup. And serve economic interests. The Pope's message blames the difficulty in unmasking and eliminating fake news to people interacting with homogeneous news environments rather than listening to differing perspectives and opinions. In other words, if I don't agree with you, Chris, you're spreading fake news. Because
okay, yeah.
I don't agree with it, so it's fake news.
As opposed to, if I don't agree with it, then my opinion
then
is.
Then we have a difference of opinion.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI. To the other side, we're going to the other side, yeah.
We chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there. But can you still recall the time we cried? Bring on new to the other side. Bring on new to the other side.
Now, personally, I don't want to go to the other side until it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah, me neither. Let's not go to the other side. Paul, Jane, Chris, on a Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the Pope this morning, the Pope railing against fake news. And
got an instant message here. Bob says, Chris and PJ, I believe with all the liberal gunk coming out of the Pope's mouth, I think we have a fake Pope. And let's
see. He said
see.
Backing up the Pope story.
Yeah. Bill of Boise says, I wonder if the Pope has a smartphone. I would sure like to get a look at his private texts. I feel like the Pope is a pretty genuine individual, you know, that he really believes everything that he says, and you know, his actions speak louder than words and whatnot.
Well, you would so hope
I would,
so.
I wouldn't expect his texts to be anything, you know, different than the sort of things he says when he's in public.
Who do you suppose he has on instant ringer?
You know, God, maybe, huh? I really don't know. I mean,
that'd be pretty interesting.
Cardinals, old friends,
probably cardinals. Yeah,
you know, archbishops, more old friends.
Do you suppose he has political leaders?
No,
I don't think so. He might have. He had a way to get rid of fake news, which has disappeared from my screen. So, basically, the way to get rid of fake news is to stop spreading it.
Well, essentially, yeah. Now, let's get to that term, fake news, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go ahead and relate it to the same thing that I always relate it to, and that is history. We have an idea of what happened in history, although we don't know exactly what happened in history, because history was written by a certain number of observers who saw it one way.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if something happened in ancient Greece, we have two, three guys who wrote something down about it, and we pretty much know what was going on back there based on that. On the other hand, we don't have like thousands of different accounts of people, you know, where we can feed all the information into a computer and say, oh, here's kind of a compilation of what probably really happened, or an amalgam, or whatever you want to call it. History, it's a lot of things people say about history. History is written by the winners, like, for instance, of a war.
True.
You know.
Very true.
We talk about how great our country is and everything because the Indians didn't write history. The white people wrote history, or the people who came from Europe.
Correct.
And so, you know, this was the greatest thing that was ever put on earth was the United States of America. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I personally really like this country a lot, having been born here, lived here my whole life. But, you know, from the point of view of somebody else, maybe it's not that great. And
remember when you were young?
Yeah.
The first time somebody ripped your country, and you're, you know, like protesters.
Yeah.
You're fascist.
What are they talking about?
And you're going, what are you talking?
And the first thing you think is, haven't you heard it's worse everywhere else?
Yeah. Don't you watch anything?
Yeah.
It's always weird, and it's always an eye-opener the first time you hear somebody ripped your country.
Right.
And
but like, for instance, then
you have to make up your mind.
Most of the
if they're right or
not. You know, the Romans, the Roman Empire stretched throughout most of Europe, as later did the Ottoman Empire, and those were the people who wrote pretty much all of the history that we have. And so we know quite a bit about Rome. We know quite a bit about the Romans. We don't know a great deal about the people they conquered. We know some.
Yeah, true.
But not quite as much. It was somebody's point of view. It's somebody's history. And
liberal states railing against Trump and free basketball tickets coming up.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Paul J. and Chris, 9:06 on a Wednesday morning. Judgment day for the Olympic child molester. Those are the headlines of what's going on today.
Yeah, it's not an event, by the way, if you're mishearing that.
Yeah, the last testifier, I guess you would call, has just finished.
Witness. I'll go with witness.
Witness.
Yeah.
And the sentencing will be soon, apparently.
So this was a doctor who, in particular, examined people competing in gymnastics, and apparently, in some way, shape, or form, I haven't, you know, read the sordid details, but he molested like hundreds of them, I guess.
When they were young,
sometimes under 13.
Oh yeah,
which would be like 12.
Way under 13.
Yeah.
Halfway through the trial, he asked the judge if she could please stop all of this testimony because it was upsetting him. Really?
Did she say you should have thought of that before?
No question. She was not light on him.
You have the right to face your accusers, but they are going to insult you.
Boy, and they all looked him in the eye, and they all said, you took away this, you did that, you did.
Yeah.
And
I heard some of the testimony. One of them said, she just said, doctor, whatever his name is, I hate you. You know, I hate you, I hate you, everything about you, I hate you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. But I'm not going to let you ruin my life, but I hate your guts.
Yeah, something of that nature.
Yeah. So anyway, that's been going on for better part of a month. And it's such a strange story in that Michigan State University
didn't fire him even though there were allegations about this stuff.
People had to know, right?
I don't know.
It went on for years at several venues.
Allegations and guilt aren't necessarily the same thing. But you get up to like 130 allegations and you think, okay, let's investigate at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's look into this somewhere along the line. And apparently, Michigan State is still billing some of these young girls for the sessions in which they were molested. They're being billed.
Yeah, that should be waived.
And Michigan, they came out and waived it, basically.
Oh, good.
We're looking at Allie Raisman. Gold medal winner who was one of the people to testify against him. And she and what is it? I think every member of the Fierce Five.
Yeah.
Molested?
Yeah. I mean, there are gold medal winners who are standing up and chastising this guy.
So, anyway.
And apparently they should.
Yeah. Anyway, good riddance.
Yeah.
Good riddance.
Got a couple of quick instant messages here. HG of McCall says about fake news, I'll hear something about the Pope or President Trump on a newscast. Then I'll find a video of what they actually said, and it is quite different from what the newscast said. I think that is what fake news is. It's more of a gossip column that doesn't use a direct quote from the Pope or President. I think this has been happening for decades. Read Mark Twain. He loved making up stories. Well, of course, his books were fiction, right?
Right.
I mean, they're in the fiction section.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you could have
Do you think the guy actually the does
Onion,
that?
The Onion is a parody newspaper.
Yes.
Okay. And I don't know if they're still in newspaper form, but I used to actually get it in the mail every week.
Yeah.
And it was an actual newspaper. And it's definitely online. So. Mm-hmm. And it's but you could also call it historical fiction because in context of things that are actually happening, they're writing stories that aren't real. But and they try to make it really obvious that these stories aren't real.
But still, other countries run these stories
occasionally
from the Onion because
occasionally
they don't get it. They don't get
occasionally
humor.
Somebody on early morning radio, not either of us, but somebody on early morning radio will get hold of one of these stories and start talking about it, and somebody will have to call up and say, "That's from the Onion. That's not real,
you idiot." And they go, "Oh."
But the thing is, parody isn't dangerous. Parody actually helps you learn a lot. What they consider to be dangerous are the ones who simply pass along information as if it is known information when all they are doing is speculating. And again, that's a gossip column. It's just like she said, and I said the same thing kind of earlier. There are different ways to report. Like, for instance, the guy who wrote the book that was hanging around the White House, he didn't get any of that from Trump. But he did listen to what other people said about Trump, and then he wrote it into a book.
Yeah.
Now, is everything people said about Trump true? Maybe not. But he still reported what they said and said it was what they said, not what was happening.
And every time you take away a layer or add a layer, it gets distorted. The truth gets distorted every single time. So if it's a third person thing, fourth person thing,
and people do ask you can if you're a reporter. I've been a reporter. I mean, I've worked for newspapers and things, and you go out and once you've found as many facts as you can about something, you start asking people what their opinions are of this. Well, like, what did you think about this? You know, what did you see your neighbor doing this? Did you suspect anything? Blah blah blah, and then the neighbors say, "Well, here's what I thought," and then you put that next door neighbor, Mrs. Miller, said this is what she thought.
And the exercise you did when you were in college, you started at one side of the room with a story.
Yeah.
And you repeated the story to me. Mm-hmm. Then I repeated it to Todd.
Yeah.
Then Todd repeated it to Rick.
Right.
And then by the time it went all the way around the room and came back, you're going, "What?"
Yeah. And we used to do a thing even in theater when I was in high school. You would go and do a one-person scene that lasted maybe 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else, you had an audience of one. And that person had to get up and do the same scene from memory for the next person. And then that person had to get up and do the same scene. And then by the time you got to the sixth person, I mean, it might be like you're not even watching the same character on stage.
Or somebody would burst into the room waving a gun and saying, blah, 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 blah. And some people would have two guys with guns.
Yeah.
Some would have three. Some would have none.
Now, there was a time, it was a long, long time ago, I guess. In journalism, let's put it this way: there's always been a certain amount of ethic responsibility in journalism, and not everybody follows it. Obviously,
true.
I've never in a story like, and I mostly wrote sports, so I didn't get this opportunity anyway. But I've written other things, stuff besides sports. But I never included a quote from anybody or even an opinion from anybody that I didn't identify. You know, nobody ever told me anything off the record, and then I put it into a story.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately, in sports, very few people say anything off the record.
Yeah. It's amazing some of the stories we'll get on the internet,
yeah,
who they quote.
Right.
An unnamed zippy-zap source who used to work for the government in another life.
Or they'll say a White House source. Well, what is a White House source? Is it the vice president? Or is it somebody who works in the kitchen? Or,
there
you know, who, by the way, might know more than the vice president? I don't know. But, you know, I like it when they identify sources. And if you, and I know, you know, Watergate, the whole Deep Throat thing, that they kind of got to the bottom of things by listening to somebody that they never identified until decades later, who turned out to be from Twin Falls, by the way. But I think journalistic ethics, as far as I'm concerned, you don't put in anonymous quotes.
No.
I don't think.
No. Getting close on that ticket giveaway. Stay tuned for Boise State. San Jose State tickets coming up.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:22.
Boy, that builds up pretty well, doesn't it?
Yeah. Tax plan touted as the signature legislative accomplishment of President Trump's first year in office already is running into efforts by high-tax blue states to evade key provisions meant to help offset the law's low rate cuts.
Well, we heard, yeah, we heard.
Well, duh.
We heard this, I guess, about the time and during the few months before they passed it. We heard that there were going to be states that didn't like it, and they were those were going to be states that already had pretty high state taxes.
Well, in California, you know, we had a story, what, Monday maybe, where some businesses they were going to try to take half of their tax savings and invest it in programs already on the books in California.
Yeah, that was California, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what you would normally save on your taxes, we're not going to let you save. We're going to invest it for you.
So, basically, you're
because when the government,
refocusing your savings.
Because, as you know, when the government invests your money for you, it always works out so well.
Mm-hmm. Trump has announced that Americans will see tax cuts by February if his plan passes on schedule. Now, February is what, a week? A week away?
Yeah, it's 8 days from today.
Yeah. We're so close.
And he says we'll see it by then. We'll see results of it by then. We'll see the effects of it by then.
All right, here's how we put it.
All right.
Dangling the prospect of Americans seeing tax cuts by February if Congress can pass a bill soon. We're so close, the president said. I don't know. He lit a fire under Congress to get the bill on his desk. I don't think it happened, though.
Yeah.
I think February is probably come and gone. Trump said during his speech, a family of four earning $75,000 a year would see an income tax cut of more than $2,000, slashing their tax bill in half if enacted. Here's some truth. Our current tax code is burdensome and unfair.
See, I don't think though. I don't think it's ever going to get down
smaller.
It's never going to get to the point where you can do your taxes as a one sheet. Now, and the easy form, you know, the 1040 EZ.
Sure.
That's basically a one sheet or two sheet or whatever it is. And that's fairly simple, but generally that means that you made a little bit of money, probably at a part-time job, and you're going to declare that. But apart from that, you have absolutely no deductions. You have, you know, just nothing. So you have, it's the easiest thing that can be. Now, on the other hand, if you have a home business, or if you do a lot of investing, if you do a lot of buying and selling, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it's never going to be postcard size.
Agreed.
Maybe a stack of postcards.
Big stack. 926.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. KBOI News Time, 936 on a Wednesday morning. Got a couple of phone callers. Let's go to Rich. Rich, what's on your mind?
Well, a couple of things. One, remember the guy a couple of weeks ago that called in and said he was saving $50 a week on his taxes because of Trump?
Yes.
Well, he was lying because those things didn't show up yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. And another thing, you know, this blue states, there was about 20 states that voted for Hillary, but they pay the majority, I mean, way over the majority of taxes used to fund the federal government. And Trump, their tax plan hit those states. They hit the states that are already paying most of the money. You know, I think that was kind of, you know, was kind of a political thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then earlier you were talking about fake news. Well, Trump tells some lie every time he impromptu speaks. I mean, his big ones were, remember he was the illegal immigrants, so he's going to form this commission to find about illegal voters. That commission met twice and disbanded because it's all a joke. So, you know, I mean, you want to hear, you know, fake news. I think.
Let me ask you a question. A joke in what way?
What's that?
The commission that met.
Well, because there isn't in-person voter fraud. People don't go in there and vote twice. They don't vote across state lines.
Okay.
I mean, it's just phony news. And he was going to have this commission to investigate it because somebody asked him about it, and they met twice, and they last week or so they just abandoned it because they all knew that it was a joke, that there was nothing to investigate.
Okay.
You know, because, I mean, you can always find out with one or two cases where somebody did it, but somebody going around voting from precinct to precinct, you just think about it, that how what a risk that would take for very little reward, you know. And it'd have to be so organized to work, and if it was that organized, you know, somebody would find out about it.
Okay.
You know, so it just doesn't exist, but... You know, that isn't the only thing. Every time he speaks, he makes up some story. You know, unless he's reading directly from a script, he makes up some story and generates fake news every single time. They've got 2,000 of them on record of things that he's done like that. He just makes up stuff as he goes along. So I think that's a lot of our fake news.
Okie doke. Good stuff. Thank you.
Well, no, I'll agree to part of that. He does tend to play to a room.
No question.
And so if he starts talking about something and he's getting a lot of good...
It's what he's done his whole life.
Well, yeah, if he starts talking about something and he's getting a lot of good reaction from it, he will keep talking about that. And as the conversation goes, it'll get larger and larger.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to Rocky of Napa. Rocky. Hey, Rock. Oop, hang on a sec. Can I get him now?
Yes.
Rocky of Napa, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to give an example of fake news, but I just heard it. So,
what example were you going to give?
Well, I was going to give, if you like your doctor, you can keep him, and your insurance will go down $2,500. Fake news. Never happened. talk about the biggest lie that ever struck the United States American citizen. That is the biggest lie. But there is the good news, and I can guarantee you this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The wicked shall be turned to hell, and all nations that forget God. Guaranteed. So that's the good news. And, you know, it seems to me like all this stuff that we're hearing now is because we've thrown the Bible out of school, we've thrown prayer out of school, we've thrown God out of school. So when a shooting happens or any other nefarious thing that goes on, what can you blame? Who do you blame?
You think the Bible should be taught in school?
It was, and it was, and we certainly were.
No, I didn't.
Off.
I know it was. Do you think it should be?
Yeah.
How come?
I think it should be taught exactly as it was taught in the McGuffey Reader. They didn't voice it. They didn't try to do their opinions or anything like that.
Yeah.
They
basically said, "Here's what it says."
Here's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And they used it as a guide for how to learn how to read and write. People don't even know how to write anymore. I have a friend of mine. His kid just came out of homeschooling, and he went to he's going to high school now. And he teacher told him to write a report, so he did. He wrote it out, and she sent it back to him. She says, "Would you please print it because I can't read." Writing.
Would you include the Apocrypha?
Oh, yeah, everything. I've read the Apocrypha. It's very interesting. It's got a lot of good history in it.
Because Protestants, you know, don't use that.
Well, that's because for whatever prejudice they are. I think it's ridiculous. I think there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things in there that are fascinating, and it's history of what happened to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing that's happened to the Jews is happening to the United States. It's kind of coincidental, but when you throw that foundational principles that we were founded on, throw them out of the American lexicon.
You don't think it would have any problem with the Constitution saying that we can't establish any particular religion?
We're not doing that.
Okay.
Give me an example. It says the Constitution says that Congress shall make no laws.
Mm-hmm.
Congress shall make no laws establishing a religion.
Right.
It doesn't say anything about the states, and they did back then. The fact is, Congress printed Bibles for the people because that was the good thing to do.
Would it be okay with you if every state voted on having a state religion?
They could have, yeah. If they wanted to, they could. That's states' rights. And they do now. I mean, religion in California is liberalism. That being facetious, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
But, that is a political viewpoint that's, you know, pretty prevalent in California.
But
I wouldn't call it a religion necessarily.
I know I wouldn't either. But I just,
if you'd call that a religion, I'd have to call money a religion.
Well, it might be.
Yeah, well, but true.
Money could be a god.
Well, a lot more people worship it than they used to.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but here's the problem: the rich just said all these things. They got, I don't know how many lies Trump said. Listen, those lies he's talking about is like what I said before about his breakfast meat lies. Well, it was bacon and not ham, and we're going to, you know, find out if that's not true. We're going to prosecute him. That, see, Rich,
well, I mean,
you don't think
Trump has said stuff just off the top of his head when he was talking to people that didn't turn out to be factual?
Well, I'm sure it probably didn't, but it doesn't mean that he was out. The difference between somebody lying is, and Trump's messages is that Trump isn't trying to deceive somebody.
He just doesn't know what he's talking about?
Well, he does know what he's talking about. Obviously, I mean, the guy was a billionaire. He must know something.
Believe me, I've known a lot of people with money, and they're not all smart.
Well, Trump is.
Okay.
And Trump is smart.
I think you probably
he's got
is.
An IQ of 150, for God's sakes.
Okay.
And, of course, Al Gore had an IQ of 92, so what do you got?
Hey, Rock. Thanks for the call.
That's in dispute, by the way, the whole IQ thing.
Yeah, it is.
That came from an article where somebody estimated the IQs of all the presidents. And they actually did it while Obama was president, and then somebody added in an extra paragraph about Trump later.
946. Basketball tickets, if you want them, give us a call. Be caller number 6 at 208-336-3711. 3711. Call now.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 9:51. Got a couple of minutes left today. Some instant messages.
Bill of Boise says it would be okay, and he's the one who wrote in to say that he would like to see what the Pope's texts say.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it would be interesting to see. That's all I am saying. Many people of power hide it from the masses, and there is usually a reason for that. Well, yeah, some people tend to hide their private thoughts and whatnot from the masses.
True.
On the other hand, some people...
That doesn't mean the thoughts are bad. Any of that.
Some people don't hide any of them.
True.
H.G. McCall says Mark Twain was also a news reporter.
Was.
Okay. And I mentioned that he was a fiction writer. Mm-hmm. Boise rabble-rouser of Boise, strangely enough, says...
He was more on the columnist side, I think, than a straight news writer. Gave his opinion.
Yeah.
Was very acerbic.
And he did it, and then Will Rogers was the next guy that did that sort of thing.
Yep.
Or was famous for it anyway.
Yep.
Boise rabble-rouser says, guys, when will the liberals get over Trump having won the election in a massive landslide with 2.8 million fewer votes than Hillary and a middling electoral college margin when he declared that 3 million fraudulent voters meant he won the popular vote and that the largest crowd in inauguration history turned up, the age of fake news started, and was defended by the White House, so get over it. It came from the top.
Wait a minute.
That was different than the way it started out.
I'm not sure I understand that.
He was saying that Trump was the one who started all the fake news.
Oh.
Dave of Boise says, in my opinion, everybody that those girls told way back when it was happening, this is the gymnast, should be put in jail right along with the doctor. With that said, it's obvious the girls knew what he was doing was wrong, yet said nothing. In my opinion, that's very wrong as well. There should be consequences for everybody involved in these cases. Zero tolerance for everybody. So if you don't tell, you get in trouble as well. See, I don't think the victim should get in trouble, personally. That's just me, for any reason whatsoever. But that, you know, okay, let's go on. If you're the one they tell and choose to do nothing, you would be in trouble as well. These days and those days, you can very easily record any wrongdoing. The parent should also be disciplined for not teaching appropriate behavior from others, including doctors.
One of the problems here, though, is the young girls, I mean, we're talking 8, 10, 12 years old. They, at the time, did not always realize that something was amiss.
Yeah. It goes on, none of this is meant to be an excuse for the doctor, but a way to put an end to this once and for all. And like I said,
I think the light has shined on it.
I agree with a lot of that, except for that if you're the victim and don't tell, that you should be in trouble. Patrick of Caldwell says, morning, guys. You could see results of a tax cut as soon as February, because when the feds adjust the withholding rate, your company will take less from each check for taxes.
Is that true?
It sounds good to me. David of Boise says, what is Rich talking about? They dropped it because there was no cooperation and therefore a dead horse. Rich is under the impression that no Democrat has ever lied.
Well, no, I think that's a stretch.
And then Bob says, Chris, Rocky is correct. When the U.S. government makes a law, you can't move away from it. When a state makes a law, you don't have to stay in that state. Kent of Boise says, topics for discussion at the State House should be, one, term limits, two, the policy of being able to police themselves in regards to harassment needs to stop. Currently, it takes a legislator to make a report, and they are reluctant to report in fear they will lose a vote or votes. Three, stop calling themselves and each other leaders. They are representatives.
Okay.
Although it does help to have some leadership qualities if that's your job.
Well, somebody needs to lead large bodies of people. It's 9:55.